This morning, I'm going to ask you a question. And it is one of the most important questions that you will ever be asked in your life. Most in this room are Christians, have been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we have given our lives to Jesus Christ. My question to you this morning is this: am I losing my relationship with God? Now, I want you to think back to the day that you became a child of God. I want you to think about that excitement that you had. When you came up out of that water, you were washed clean. There were no sins in your life. You were a brand new person. Now, I want you to think about yourself as you're sitting right here, right now in this pew, and you're listening to me. And I want you to make a comparison of your life now as a child of God and your life then when you became a child of God. Is your level of faith what it was? Is your level of Christian strength what it was? Can you honestly say that I am a stronger, more active, more vibrant child of God today than I was years ago when I became a Christian? Or am I losing my relationship with God? You know, sometimes as time goes on, changes take place in us just by laws of nature, really, but also because of our passions, our wants, our desires, our needs change as we age in life. And sometimes, unfortunately, things that are tremendously important to us, we begin to lessen the amount of importance in our own mind for these things. And it doesn't happen all of a sudden. It can be a gradual thing. Tiny changes take place in our mind. Our attitudes gradually change about things that was one time tremendously important to us. And even our level of importance of God may change in small increments over a period of time. And because it happens in small quantities and small increments, we may never even be aware that it's taking place. It's just like the story of the little frog. When you take the little frog and you throw him in a pot of boiling water, he will hop immediately out because he understands the pain that is involved with the boiling water. But if you take a frog and you drop him in a pot of cold water, and then you turn on the heat, that little frog will sit there in that cold water that gradually heats until he is boiled to death. Because he recognizes the immediate change, but he does not recognize the gradual change. The purpose of this lesson today is to help us recognize gradual changes in our Christianity. To help us understand that we must forevermore be on our guard and be vigilant in our service, our love, our dedication to God, because even unknowingly, these things may change in our lives. That's why the question is put to you: am I losing my relationship with God? It could be that we are losing our relationship with God for different reasons. One of which is because we have begun to put others and things before God. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Now, if you go back to the Greek word for mammon, it is mammonos, and it simply means wealth or money. But it has an Aramaic root, this Greek word, that actually gives us two different definitions. One agreeing with the Greek in wealth or money. But the second definition in the Aramaic form is that which one puts his trust into. Now, if you use that second Aramaic definition, you can really broaden the scope of this word. It reaches out to many things that you could put before God, and not only wealth alone. You know, when it comes down to it, we will always be making choices in our lives to do one thing or the other. But the question comes, is it always the right choice? Do we always make the right choice? Or maybe we make a good choice, but not a better choice. We're always making choices. And when it comes to our Christianity, sometimes we don't always make the right one. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 10:37, "He who loves me more," or loves father and mother more than me, "is not worthy of me." Now, what that is saying is that years ago, when you became a child of God, you made a choice to put God first. Are you still making that choice today of putting God first? Now, we can go all the way back to the beginning of time, to Adam and Eve, and we see where they had to make the same choice, and they chose to make the wrong choice. They substituted something else for God. So that's how we can gradually lose our relationship with God, by choosing something else or someone else. We may be losing our relationship with God because we have no real urgency in our lives to save other souls. You know, this happens when we come here week after week and we hear the gospel of Christ preached and we study in our Bible classes and we go home with a good understanding of the gospel of Christ, but yet we never really take an opportunity to approach anyone about it. And we never discuss it with anyone. And the really bad thing about this is we don't even feel the urge to do that. You know, there is a man in the Bible who lived like this. It was the rich man of the rich man in Lazarus. He never gave any thought to God. He never gave any thought to the soul until he found himself in the fires of hell. And in the fires of hell, he even asked Abraham to send Lazarus back to the earth to talk to his brothers so that they would not come to this awful place. Opportunities that he had to talk to his brothers are no longer. So now someone else has to do it. You see, your attitudes change as your situations change. And boy, this man's situation had really changed. Now he sees the need to help someone else avoid the horrible place of hell. You know, it may be that after Judgment Day, we may come into our minds, if judgment doesn't go the way we want it to, why didn't I teach someone else? Why didn't I take the opportunity to help my son, my daughter, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister from coming to this awful place? Perhaps we'll stand in the rich man's shoes. You know, it's odd how differently we feel about certain things. We will discuss some things with people and some things as taboo. We'll go to work, we'll go to school, we'll talk about sports. We'll talk about our job relationship and our working ethics. We'll talk about different recipes that we use to bake a cake. But we will not talk about God. And we will not talk about His Son. And we will not talk about what it takes for us to achieve salvation. And I wonder why. Now, I know for a fact we have people in here who are not shy. Some people say, well, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. I'm shy about religion.
No, I don't buy that. We have people in here who are not shy. We have people in here who don't mind being challenging. We have people in here who don't mind being insulting. So why can't you talk about Jesus? Why can't you talk about God? Why can't you talk about their soul? We need to feel an urgency in our lives to go to other people to talk about something that is far more important than anything that they could think about in their lives. And that being their soul and their salvation. We may be losing our relationship with God because of our ethics and church attendance. We may be losing our relationship with God because we can easily skip the assembly and it doesn't bother us or bother our conscience in the process. Now I want you to notice here that I use the word skip instead of miss. Because I'm going to tell you this morning, everybody misses church. I don't care who you are, where you come from, your educational background, whatever. Everybody misses church. Including your preacher. I have missed church because of sickness. I have sat over there in my bedroom, in my house, during service time on Sunday morning, and I would look out the window and I would count the cars, and I would recognize who drives those cars, wishing I could be here with you. I have missed church because of work. I have missed church because of travel. You know, you can't worship God in a 737 30,000 feet in the air. It's impossible. We like to use that little word miss, don't we? And the reason we like that little word is because it sounds unintentional. It sounds less abrasive. And it sounds less condemning than skip does. But don't you kid yourself, folks. The majority of people don't miss. They skip. And there is a big difference. Now, here it comes. Do we have skippers at Dawson Road? Well, we had 25 or 30 of them last week. Last Sunday morning, we had 63 people in our attendance here for our worship service. About 55 of those stayed and had lunch with us in the annex following. When I walked into the annex about 5 minutes to one, and I said, okay, everybody, let's move over to the auditorium for our afternoon service. You know, we formed two lines. Some of them went straight into the building and came in here. The other one veered off to the left and went out to the cars and left. At least 25 or 30 of them. Of you. Not them. You. Folks, that's half of the congregation. And I'm not going to pull any punches this morning. And I'm going to tell you, Terry and I are actually having thoughts about stopping activities such as this. Because half of the church don't care. We need to think about, are we losing our relationship with God? Don't worry about what Farron thinks. It doesn't matter what Farron thinks. It doesn't matter what Terry thinks, but it does matter what God thinks. And we need to think seriously about our dedication to God. Half of this congregation chose not to stay with the saints. And the only reason we do things like that is to give us an opportunity to be together, to worship together, to enjoy fellowship together. By the way, everybody look at the person next to you that is not related to you. Everybody just look around and look at somebody that you recognize. Do you like those people? You think about it. Do you like who you're looking at? Do you like being with them? Do you like talking to them, communicating with them? Do you like that? In heaven, you get to do it for eternity. If you don't like them here, you're going to have to worry about liking them there. We are a family, people. We are brothers and sisters in Christ.
He gave his life for me. He gave his life for you. He gave his life so that you and I can like one another as Christians should. And we should want to be together.
But half the church left. You know, some people can do it without a second thought. Don't even give it a thought. You know, even though the command is in the book, not forsaking yourselves, the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, it's there, friends, Hebrews 10:25. I didn't write it, but it's there. And what's worse, the next verse is there. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. That's it, folks. Your opportunities are gone. There's nothing else there. That's why it's so important, friends, that we take this book in seriously and obey it to the letter. I don't care if you had company at home. I don't care if you had to get to the restaurant to get your favorite seat. I don't care if the March Madness was on TV this last weekend. God was here. God's people were here. Are you losing your relationship with God? Has your Christianity become nothing more than a necessary evil? Is it nothing more than a thorn in the flesh? Are you losing that relationship? Now, one thing I don't want people coming up to me after church and saying, well, you know, I couldn't stay because of blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear that because it don't matter to me. Well, it matters, but there's nothing I can do about it. But you need to save that for judgment because you will be having to explain it again. Are you losing that relationship with God? We may be losing our relationship with God because we seldom study His Word. You wait and you come here and you listen to me do it. Or your Bible school teacher do it. And I'm not trying to downplay Bible class and worship, especially after that last point. But friends, sometimes you can't get everything here. Y'all remember being in school? You remember having to do homework? Did anybody here really enjoy doing homework? I didn't see a hand go up. Won't take mine down. I didn't like it either. I'm going to tell you something. Without homework, you people would not be near as intelligent as you are. You know why? Because you can't get it all in the classroom. It's impossible to get it all. And we've got teachers in this room, high school, college teachers in this room, who are very good at their job. The retired ones were very good at their job. But I'm sorry, fellas, you couldn't do it all. Sometimes it had to be done at home. Let me give you an example of that. When you was in school and the teacher taught you for the first time, 1 + 2 = 3. It is, isn't it? Yeah. You didn't have any trouble learning that, did you? That wasn't a hard thing to follow. 1 + 2 = 3. Probably didn't have to work too hard at that. But then she comes along and she says something like, A + B = C. Wait a minute. That's different. A + B = C. That takes a little thought, doesn't it? Or what if you come up and said, π r². Boy, that threw me. All my mama's pies were round. You know what π r² is? It is a definition, an equation that represents the ratio in the circumference of a circle and compares it to the diameter. Did y'all know that? You've all heard it. You heard it in school. Now, you may not have heard that for years or decades. And probably very few of you can come up to me up at church this morning and give me that same definition that I just gave you. Why? You hadn't heard it in a long time. You never used it. I never used it. By the way, it is 3.14, in case y'all don't remember that part of it. The point is this. You can't get all your learning in school. It can't happen. You have to do some of it at home. You know, I don't walk into this building at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings and throw a sermon together. I have done it before when I had to. But I generally don't do that. I spend the whole week putting this thing together because it takes a whole week to learn it and understand it and be able to present it. You don't do it that fast. It can't happen. When it comes to Bible study, you can't get it all here. As good as our teaching staff is, you can't get it all here. And when it comes to Bible study, it should be a daily thing. And what's more important, it should be a desired thing. Every one of us should have a desire to know more about God. Every one of us should have a desire to be closer to God and know how to please Him. And if you're not, you need to take a look at that question that we've been asking. How is your relationship to God? We may be losing our relationship with God because we're too busy trying to find fault with everyone else and everything else. You know, I've been doing church work for a long time. Matter of fact, today is an anniversary for me. On this day in 1984, I walked into the Oliver Church of Christ for the very first time as their associate minister. And I began my public church work on this day in 1984. 47 years ago, last week, marked the anniversary of my becoming a Christian. So this has been a relatively important week for me. But you know, in that time, being a member, a song leader, a Bible school teacher, a preacher, an elder, and I've been them all, I've always had complaints made about me. I've always had the gripers come up to me. And I'm not saying that everybody in the church are complainers. But I'm saying we do have people in the church who complain about everything. And they do it well. And you ask the question, well, why? Well, I have an answer for that. And it's not because they can do it better, because, you know, 99 times out of 100, that the people that complains about something could never do it themselves. Could never do it themselves. Is it because they know everything? Well, in their own mind, maybe they do. I don't know. But do you know why we have complainers in the church today and why they complain so much? It is because, listen to this, because this is important. It is because they have a weak relationship with God. Fair again, you say that again. It is because you have a weak relationship with God. Because if your relationship was strong, you'd be too busy doing instead of complaining. You'd be too busy helping instead of hindering. People do it all the time. It has happened at every place I've been. It happened at Killing, the church that I grew up in. It happened at Oliver, where I began my first work. It continued on at the next work at Lone Cedar in Florence. And now here I am in South Georgia. And I have to tell you, folks, you Georgia people can do it just as good as the Alabama people can. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. And it tears down the Christian. It tears down the church. And I, for one, can do without it. Boy, this has been a horrible sermon this morning, hasn't it? Yeah. You know, I'm almost sad to know we had visitors this morning because I've had to do this. But I think it's important. Because we need to know where we stand. Not with Terry and I as the eldership of this church, but we need to know how we stand with God. Because again, like I said a while ago, it really doesn't matter what we think. But all these things that I've talked about this morning is going to come up again when you stand before God in judgment. And you better have your story good. These things I've talked about today are nothing more than symptoms. Symptoms of a tremendous problem that some of us may have in our lives, and that is that we have a poor relationship with God. So I'm asking you today, my friends, are there any of these signs in your life that your relationship with God is not what it should be? And you know, I could have gone on and on. I didn't have to stop with just four things. Matter of fact, I had seven written down, but we're out of time. I have to quit. Well, we need to stop and ask ourselves how we stand with God, because that's what ultimately matters. Don't be like the rich man of the rich man and Lazarus and realize too late, and he's looking across that gulf at Abraham and Lazarus, and he realizes there's nothing I can do about my situation now. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be in those shoes. I don't want you in those shoes. I hope you don't want me in those shoes. We need to think about our relationship with God. So this morning, if you're here and you're a Christian, and your relationship, as you see, is not what it needs to be, you need to make the changes. Them little bitty increment changes that have taken place throughout your life, you can end it just like that. And you can bring God back just like that if you'll only do that. I know I haven't said anything this morning that would appeal to someone becoming a Christian. But if you're not a Christian this morning, you can be. You can give your life to the Lord. And you can work and serve the Lord throughout your life without the complaining. You don't have to complain. You know, I'm a complainer. I feel like I complain too much. Pat thinks I complain too much. And I have to tell you, when I get those words out of my mouth, you know, a lot of people, when they end their complaining spiel, they feel so good about themselves. Boy, I put him in his place. I don't. I feel horrible about myself when I have done that. And boy, I wish I could take it back, but I can't. But one thing I can do, I can get forgiveness for it. I can ask God to forgive me, and He will. And when He does, I don't have to think about it anymore. And if you are in those shoes today, you can do the very same thing. I didn't preach this sermon today to be ugly, to be difficult, to be demanding or domineering. I did it because I know what's right and right, and right and wrong, and so do you. And we all have to do the right thing. Whether we like it or not, we all have to do the right thing. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Tried every way to get out of it. But he went to Nineveh, and he did like the results of Nineveh. But he went because God said, do it. God has said some things for you to do as well. Do it. If you need to respond this morning, please come while we stand and sing.